dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today the Church celebrates St. Anthony Abbot. He's also known as St. Anthony of the Desert, St. Anthony of Egypt, and also known as the Father of Monks, or the Patriarch of Monasticism. And just a couple of details about his life, which illustrate a principle that was featured in the gospel that's proper to this memorial, the gospel of the rich man who went away sad because he had many possessions. St. Anthony was born around the year 250 to a wealthy family and was left an orphan with a young sister at a very young age. By the time, I guess, he was 18, his parents passed away, and leaving him an inheritance of wealth, including a great deal of land. But St. Anthony heard an interior voice. He was devout, and on a day that he was going to the church to make his visit, he was reflecting on the apostles and how they left everything to follow Christ, and how those in the Acts of the Apostles gave up all of their possessions to the apostles so that they could support the needs of the church. And as he was reflecting on this and entered the church, it was just at the moment when the gospel was being read, and it was the gospel of the rich young man. And so that inner voice that he heard seemed to be confirmed in the words of the gospel that he was hearing. And so when he left, he resolved to give away everything, which he did, at the same time, of course, providing for his younger sister. He retained a few things to make sure she would be taken care of. And then again, very shortly after that experience, he had another confirmation and decided to leave it all behind and to go follow Christ. And so he arranged to have his sister taken care of, raised in a convent. And then he gave up the final things that he had retained and went to live as a hermit in the desert. And he dedicated himself then to serving God in prayer and in the practice of penance and self-denial. He also drew to him many people for his reputation of holiness and for the gifts that he had, especially in giving counsel to those who sought his advice. And he became friends also with Saint Athanasius, who at the time was one of the lone defenders of the truth of Christ's divinity. And so they became allies. And much of what we know about Saint Anthony is from a biography about him written by Saint Athanasius. So after years in the desert, Saint Anthony being called upon to help those Christians who were suffering under both the Arian heresy as well as the persecutions of Diocletian, he began to gather to himself a community, and he gave them a rule of life and gave them instructions, and so became the father of monasticism. The life then of Saint Anthony is a reflection of an important truth that we all have to understand and apply to our own life according to our particular vocation. And that is the need to make a radical break with the world. The Lord told the rich young man that if you would be perfect, then you have to make a radical exchange. You have to give up what is yours in the world and come follow me. In other words, renounce those things of the world that you enjoy in order to possess salvation, to possess true happiness, which the greatest expression of which is this complete union with Christ. And that radical exchange is exactly the contrary of what Satan proposes. When Satan tried to tempt Christ, he said, "I'll give you the whole world. All of this will be yours if only you bow down and worship me." In other words, renounce the truth, renounce eternal salvation, and enjoy the pleasures of this passing world, which can be very tempting to man in his fallen nature, the desire for pleasure, the desire for power and wealth. We Christians then have to see and do see through this deception, but sometimes we don't live according to that faith. St. Louis de Montfort proposed a different way of fleeing from the world, so to speak, not in the radical physical sense that St. Anthony did by actually removing himself from the company of men in society in the world and repairing to the desert and solitude, but rather St. Louis Marie de Montfort suggests total consecration to the Blessed Virgin Mary, which, when lived faithfully and according to the ideals that he describes in his book, True Devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary, it signifies a radical break with the world. In fact, in the preparation for this consecration, this is the very first thing. The first part of the preparation should be employed in casting off the spirit of the world, which is contrary to that of Jesus Christ. The spirit of the world consists essentially in the denial of the supreme dominion of God, a denial which is manifested in practice by sin and disobedience. Thus, it is principally opposed to the spirit of Christ, which is also that of Mary. By disobedience to God's laws and the abuse of created things, the spirit of the world corrupts. The spirit of the world is expressed in sin in all its forms, and then all else by which the devil leads to sin, which bring error and darkness to the mind and seduction and corruption to the will. If we fail to recognize this absolute contrast between the spirit of the world and the spirit of Christ, the results can be disastrous, not only for our own personal happiness and salvation, but also for the common good of mankind. Pope John Paul II, now recognized as a saint, great pope, alerted the church anyway, to the errors of our time, which he characterized as a culture of death. And he wrote a great work and proposed that in its place we must erect a culture of life according to the gospel of life. And there's a very interesting series of books, a trilogy, which I think very engagingly and interestingly and creatively expresses this battle between the culture of death that surrounds us and threatens to overwhelm and destroy humanity, and the culture of life which Jesus Christ brought to us. The books, three of them, are written by Brian Gale, and they're a great tool for anybody wanting a spiritual aid to help understand what it means to engage the truth in a world that opposes it today. As a Catholic, the series of books is called, the first one's called Fatherless, the second is called Motherless, and the last one is called Childless. And I want to just read, this is a work of fiction, but it's also extremely insightful into the reality today of this culture of death. And this is a sermon being given by one of the main characters, who's a priest. And so he's explaining this relationship between the Christian and the world, and the church and the world. So he says, the life of divine love, one for man on the Friday we call good, is offered to man in the form of sanctifying grace. In every age, through the action of the Holy Spirit, this grace that sanctifies man flows through the mystical body of Christ and out into the world. It oxygenates the air we share, permitting a measure of harmony between Creator and creature. This harmony is essential for man to understand his eternal destiny and to order his life accordingly. This is what Pope Pius XII meant when he said that it is a great mystery that the salvation of the many depends on the holiness of the few. Our holiness, then, and our radical adherence to Christ, a liberation from the deceptions and lies of the world, is a choice that allows the world to breathe. When Christians stop living a radical adherence to Christ and make compromises for the world, that exchange between the mystical body of Christ and the world, which is dying of suffocation for lack of grace, that respiration slows down and eventually will stop, unless there are those who will radically leave the world behind, put it aside, the things of this passing world, and follow Christ. There are many young people today who, out of a false or misinformed sense of justice, are fighting for things which will destroy humanity. They're lampooned in a number of sites online that I've seen, called social justice warriors, usually young people, but with ideas that are totally in contrast with the truth that the church teaches. And unfortunately, some of this spirit finds its way into the church. And it's nowhere more evident, in my opinion, than in the state of Massachusetts, which is a Catholic state largely, and yet one that seems to be more attached to the doctrine of the Democratic Party than to the doctrine of the Catholic Church. And so you have Catholics who consider themselves, or who are, what the world would call liberals, which is an oxymoron. You cannot be a Catholic and a liberal. The two worldviews just do not reconcile. And by liberalism, I mean the doctrine of secular humanism, which now dominates our political discourse. So the policies of the last presidency and that of the defeated Democratic candidate in this last election. And in the books that I mentioned by Brian Gale, this trilogy about the culture of life versus the culture of death, one of the things that comes out very strongly is the consequences of the contraceptive mentality. And that contraceptive mentality is absolutely in conflict and opposed to the gospel of life. The contraceptive mentality, basically, if you wanted to summarize it, is a rejection of life in order to pursue unbridled carnal pleasure. And the extreme expression of that mentality then, of course, is abortion. And abortion is an abominable and heinous crime, and the church has always taught this. And yet there are self-proclaimed Catholics who would not only reject what the church says about that, but claim that abortion is a right, and where there are rights, there are also obligations. And so they would say that we have an obligation, a duty, to make sure that abortion is available to everyone. And of course, we can't accept that because it's a complete contradiction of the truth that saves. And there are other examples of this secular mentality that is just an absolute contrast with the saving truth that we proclaim. And unfortunately, there's much blindness now in the world, and many Catholics and Christians have fallen into it. It's heresy. Our Lord, in many ways, makes it clear that we can't make certain compromises with the world. These falsehoods that I just described, the contraceptive mentality, the mentality that flows from that, which is the LGBT agenda, which now is being proposed to children at the tenderest age when they haven't the slightest ability to defend themselves against it. Our Lord said, in regard to that kind of offense, he said, "Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea." It's pretty hard to think of a stronger condemnation than that. The corruption of children is one of the worst things, worst offenses against Christ, who said, "Let the little children come to me." And then, of course, he said, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." So that's the message in today's gospel, in another, looked at or expressed in another way. And an understanding of that is what the life of St. Anthony Abbot demonstrates. He showed an understanding of what St. John says in his first letter, "The world passes away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." So, brothers and sisters in Christ, let us remember that we have a radical choice to make. If we would be perfect, we have to leave behind those things that we cling to, that belong to this passing world, to the culture of death and corruption, and follow Christ. And if we do, then we will have life. And if we think it's difficult or impossible, our Lord said, "For men this is impossible, but for God all things are possible." St. Anthony Abbot's life showed that this is true. And so now, 1,700 years after his life and death, the church is still enjoying the fruits of his wisdom and of his self-sacrifice. May St. Anthony Abbot intercede for us, give us the grace of understanding and the grace of courage to live in accordance with that understanding and make a radical break from the spirit of the world in order to follow the Spirit of Christ. Praise be Jesus and Mary.